Matthew chapter 9. Praise the Lord. Verse 36. We read this last week, but I want to start with it this week. 9, 36, and 37. This is Jesus looking out into the crowd. A lot of people were fainting, and they were hungry and thirsty. But Jesus saw a multitude. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then, so Jesus sees a crowd that's weak and has no leader and no shepherd. Then saith to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. You know, when I read that scripture, I sense the passion and the compassion of Jesus, where he's looking out and he sees people that are lost. And he wants them to come in and to be harvested. But Jesus recognizes this one thing. One man physically cannot do that whole thing. It requires laborers. Amen? And whether you like to admit it or not, you are being prepared to be one of those laborers. Amen? Some of you are really excited about that. Some of you have no opinion. Could go either way. And some of you are like, not me. I can't talk to somebody about Jesus. It's okay. That's what Moses said. And what happened to Moses? he led the people. So it's really not. I said this one time, how you're going to lead people in the kingdom or labor is really not up to you. You're just called. And God, if you open your heart, God's going to prepare you to handle whatever he has for you. Amen. It's really no pressure on you, really. Just read your Bible, pray every day, and say, God, here am I, use me. The rest will happen. Amen. It will just happen because that's who God is. Trust him. So you can sense the compassion in Jesus right here. And it's time to care for the harvest. This fall, as a church body, we're going to prepare for the harvest and become worthy laborers for God's kingdom. Look at it this way. A harvest is coming, and we are building a barn for the harvest, and the barn must be able to withstand storms. The barn must be able to not have counterfeit material, right? When you're building a house, you know, you can use the cheap wood, or they don't do wood anymore, some wood, some brick. The cheap brick, the good brick, the cheap way to build a house, the solid way to build a house. So as we build this barn with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, it's got to be able to withstand storms, because when you bring the harvest in, it's got to be protected. And we got to stay away from counterfeit material. There's a lot of counterfeit Jesus out there. Amen? Amen. Presenting the name of Jesus, but really bringing glory to self. And we don't want that in this barn. And then there's the enemy's deceitful plans to steal the harvest from the barn. And you look at it this way, like, you know, those rats that get into the barn, start nipping. Look at it that way. The enemy's doing that. He's trying to nip away. You see it in your life. You must be able to withstand all those things. And as we studied last week, first and most important is to make sure that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of everything. Amen. That's so important. So important. The world needs to know that without Jesus as a cornerstone of our life, of our home, of our church, of a marriage, there's no peace in our heart without Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. Amen. No boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse or a car will bring you lasting peace. I think some of you younger people need to repeat that, you know. No boyfriend, girlfriend, car, money, none of that will bring you lasting peace. I said the key word there is lasting. It will give you momentary joy, But lasting, no. And take it from us older ones that have experienced, it's not lasting. Amen? I hope you absorb that and you understand that in your spirit, because you can be very wise if you understand that and live that. All the things that the world tells you to look for, relationships, money, importance, fame, being the cool kid in the school, all those things that the world, that stuff is temporary. The only thing that's longing and lasting forever and peace forever is Jesus. And when He forgives us, nothing can take away that love. I think Eloy opened with that scripture, although he was coughing a lot while he was, but I think I got it. He said, nothing can separate us from the love of God, he read in Romans chapter 8. Nothing. Nothing. In John chapter 4, 13, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 13. Remember, all that stuff the world that you're looking for peace, for joy, for satisfaction, all of it is temporary without Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so I just feel the Spirit of God wants us to get that today. All of that stuff you think is what you need that will bring you joy, it will bring you joy for a moment. But, you know, perfect example of that, when you were asking your mom and dad for that toy, that video game, and that it was the awesomest thing, and you got it, and you were all excited, and then a year later, it's like going to the food bank for sale, or it's not being used anymore, right? What happened? I thought that was all you needed in this world. No, they fade away. But one thing will never fade away. It says there in verse 13, there's this woman who went to the well to get a drink of water. And Jesus says to this woman, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, they shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never, ever thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There's the scripture to back up everything I was just telling you, that the world, the water of that well, that was physical water, was going to be temporary. It will not satisfy you forever. But what Jesus provides, His forgiveness, His love, it's everlasting. And no matter what happens in this world, because we all go through trials and hard times and good times, that never changes. He's still filling us with living water that's eternal. I just love Jesus. Amen. Living water. Living water. And I wanted to open with that. Nothing else really matters but Jesus. And as we get that in our lives, He begins to prepare us for the harvest. And there's got to be a foundation of Him as a cornerstone. And I want to start building on that cornerstone, Jesus. And like I said, hopefully I can get an image to make this more visual. But Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And I want to look at one example in the Bible in Luke chapter 23 where Jesus was hanging on the cross. Now, I went to go see a movie, the Ben-Hur movie. It didn't do good in the movies as far as it, but I wanted to see it because I never saw the original, like the one in the 50s. So I said, oh. So I took Casey with me, and as long as she gets popcorn, she's cool with it. So we went. And I saw it, and there was one line in that movie that I even today I'm bringing it up because I got it, like it hit me. And Jesus is going to the cross. There's a few scenes of Jesus in this movie, and he turns to the main character and says, "This life I give freely." He was on his way to the cross, and they were trying to help him, and he was trying to give him water while he had the cross on his back. And Jesus said, "This life, I give it freely." Wow, that hit me. You know, Jesus was all about the kingdom business. He was worried. He was more concerned about us, the future, the people that will find him, than he was about the moment. Because that moment was temporary of death, but his resurrection is eternal. And that was awesome part of the movie, because he was, so he's on the cross freely, put himself there, because he could have asked God to remove him from this situation, but he knew what he was doing for us. He loves us, just like you would do for your child. You love them, and you'll do whatever it takes to protect them. Sometimes to a fault, we protect them too much, right? But that's a whole other sermon or counseling session, maybe. But Jesus is on the cross, and he says this, and this is what he's verse 20, chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to that place, which is called Calvary, they crucified him there. And the malefactors, there was one on his right hand, one on his left, some criminals that were being crucified with him. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." One of the best illustrations of God's character is this right here. As Jesus was suffering a painful death, suffocating for our sins, what is he thinking of? Forgive the people. Wow, that's love. Jesus, in that moment of pain and suffering, chose not to be offended, and he chose to love. That's power. That's power. That is power. He chose not to hate, not to have anger, not to be offended. He had every right to be angry. He was being crucified innocent, the perfect lamb, sinless, being crucified a sinner's death. And what can he think of? Man, these guys, they don't get. No. Lord forgives them. That's a powerful, powerful statement and witness to who God is in his character. So this morning, as we build this barn and Jesus as a cornerstone, there's something that the church, I believe, that God wants to get in us this morning. And it deals with what Jesus did. And the title of this sermon is, "Take No Offense." And Jesus led the way. You just read the scripture. He took no offense. This morning, I want to talk to you about choosing not to be offended. Choose not to be offended. And there's two main reasons to choose not to be offended. Even if you deserve for the other person to be punished. Choose not to be offended. One main reason to do that is when we choose to hold a grudge or stay angry at someone. Maybe even your own mother, your own father. When you choose to be angry and hold it, it's enemy's tool to keep you from being free to live your life in peace. Amen? So the one reason to not take offense is to be free. There's nothing that keeps people in bondage more than to hold hate and hold grudges. And that's the enemy's trick. Remember when I talked about the rat coming into the barn to eat the harvest? That is the enemy using offense, like a rat coming in to steal your joy and your peace. And another reason to not take offense is that because when people see that you, when somebody has wronged you, when people see how you handle that, it is a powerful witness for God's character in your life. That's pretty deep, right? Can you, some of you, get your pens, pencils out? Or you can always hear the sermon again on the internet, right? They post them later today. Those are pretty deep things. But I know what you're thinking. You don't know what they did to me. Whenever you say that again, think of Jesus on the cross saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amen. This is not about us taking up justice. The Bible is clear. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen? It is not our job to pay people back. Amen? You see, as the harvest comes in, and they encounter people who live this, they will be encountering something that is real, powerful, and will stabilize them to be strong Christians for the kingdom. See, many times people have brought in harvest, lost souls, people that were lost and they found Jesus, but they get put into a barn that's not built on these principles. They get put into some religious or some other thing that is man-made. And Jesus Christ isn't the cornerstone. But I'm just in my spirit, I'm determined, church, that as we go forward, as people begin to stop running away like we had this morning and start running to the cross, we want to be real. We want people to see that we are not easily offended because we can see God's love. We want to give God's love to others no matter what. So, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you're asking a lot of me today. You don't know. There's a lot of stuff that people, it's hard for me to let it go. Remember that taking offense is a tool of the enemy to keep us in bondage. The enemy uses our pride. Ultimately, the reason why we don't like to, you know, that song what was that? Let It Go song from what movie was that? Frozen, thank you. One of the most popular movies, right? I mean, I think they're still renting that thing out. Frozen, Let It Go. You know, one of the reasons why I think that song is so lasting is that a lot of us can relate. It's just sometimes time to let it go. Amen? So true. And that's what that song is about. And when you let it go, it gives you peace and joy. What does the Bible say about taking offense? If you turn with me to Psalm 119, 165. Can you believe there's 165 verses in Psalm 119? Well, there is. Go to Psalm 119, 165. The Bible does talk about this, and it says this. Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. Take that into your spirit, into your heart. When we choose to be offended and take offense and hold that, peace will be absent. Because the opposite is true. Those who are easily offended won't have great peace because we hold that. Peace comes when we are not easily offended. The opposite is true. We will not be at peace if we are easily offended. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth with friends. That's written in kind of a poetry, King James version. But when you read it in another version, in a simpler understanding, basically this scripture is saying this. He that lets go of a transgression or an offense is one that's seeking love, which is God is love. But one that likes to keep it and repeat it over and over and won't let it go, it causes separation and disunity. Amen? You know, that's pretty powerful scripture to just confirm in our hearts and our spirits that keeping an offense does not help us. It hurts us. It hurts us. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. Matthew 18, verse 22. And some of you, while I'm speaking about this, you may start thinking about some things people did to you and how you really haven't kind of chosen to let it go. It doesn't mean you have to trust people, or it just means you can't let it absorb you and consume you with hate and vengeance. Amen? Amen? It takes the power of God to help us to let things go. Amen. Jesus was asked a question. How many times, Jesus, in verse 21, chapter 18, verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother against me and forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus said unto him, seven times not, but 70 times seven. So I guess there is a final limit at 491. But I think we get the point of the scripture. Be easy to forgive. And I've done a few studies on, when do I have to forgive? Is there a time when I can like hold it? Like when it's really bad? In scripture you will find, as I read it, There's offenses like, you just called me a bad name. Let it go. Amen? There's offenses where someone does you wrong, like, let's take a simple one. They steal from you. You can still call the police, right? That's justice. It doesn't mean you don't. Justice is justice, and law and order is law and order. So you can call the police and say they stole or whatever. So it doesn't mean forgive that you just like, okay, it's like you never did anything to me. No, you follow through on the law, because God is the God of order and law. That's okay. But you don't hold it in your heart as, now I want bad things to happen to that person. Right? So we can let that go. The crime is a crime. The law takes care of that. And though the law doesn't provide justice, you'll leave it with God. Vengeance is His, says the Lord. Amen? And then there's times when somebody does something directly to hurt you physically and so forth. And Jesus gave the best example of that one. He still said on the cross, the people didn't ask for forgiveness, did they? Jesus just voluntarily said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now I realize that all these things about the forgiving and not taking offense and not holding grudges is not something that, and I've been saying this about many things, it is not something that you can do in your own power. We, our sinful nature is incapable of having this forgiveness heart that Jesus had. But when we get connected to the Holy Spirit that empowers us to overcome sin in the world, then you will begin to resemble Jesus' character and you'll be able to forgive more and more. So the answer is this. Jesus is the answer. Cornerstone, more of Him. But this topic, I believe, is part of God preparing us. When people begin to see your family or you or the church forgiving, not being offended, many people will be won to Jesus Christ because of what they saw that was real and the power that's in that. Jesus wants us to forgive people because He has forgiven us. Let's not criticize and gossip. Let's not slander and argue, but let us look at every situation and every scenario as God would. And God sees it as an opportunity in each one of these cases. Every time you're offended, every time someone does you wrong, begin to look at that as an opportunity to show love. Because that's what Jesus did. He showed love. Many of you, you may be going through some hard things with your parents, with your brothers, sisters, relatives. The enemy, I mean families, the enemy is always, the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's on that mission. And that doesn't stop. So I know just in this congregation here today, there's family situations, there's things going on that are hard and people have done wrong. And you may think you have every right to hold anger. And I want, if nothing else this morning, you leave with this, that holding anger and unforgiveness towards people, even when they don't ask, or when we hold that, we're keeping us from being at peace with God. Let it go. Amen. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. Let it go. Take no offense. That's power. That's power. That is power. John 10:10. Every day you wake up in the morning, understand the enemy. The enemy, he comes to steal. Verse 10:10. We all know that scripture. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's using offenses to do that. He's using our grudges and our hate to do that. And to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. Young people, I've started in the beginning of the sermon saying that what you're searching for, the thing that the world is telling you, the peer pressure at school, the friends, have this, have that, all of that stuff is very temporary. But what we're talking about this morning, asking the Spirit of God to empower you to overcome and to forgive, that's eternal. That's power. More abundant life. If you're in those situations with family, there's only one answer. And it's the cornerstone. It's surrendering your life to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I don't want to be in bondage anymore. Lord, I don't want to hold these offenses anymore. So-and-so has wronged me, but Lord, I don't want to keep it. I don't want to be in chains. I want to be free and at peace. And this morning, I believe that's what God wants to do. And ask Michelle to come. I believe that God is setting a foundation. And one of the things that the enemy is tricking us and holding us and keeping us is that we think we have a right to hold offense and grudges and hate when people have wronged us. And this morning, I believe through His Word and through the Spirit of God, it takes more power to forgive than it does to hold it. Amen? And this morning, some of us need to be set free from taking offense. If you've been holding on to an offense or a grudge or something somebody has done to you, whether it's family or friends, and this has been keeping you from keeping Jesus close to you or finding Him or understanding who God is in your life, it's time to leave your offense, your grudge or anger against a mother or father, daughter, son, relative, it's time to leave it. Leave it. And it's time to refocus on what is most important, not the offense, but the love of Jesus. Amen. This morning we sang the song, Wrap Me in Your Arms. That's what he wants. He wants us to be free. So this morning, in a response to this, and I think this is very important. I'm holding the service a little bit because I believe this is spiritual breakthroughs. Yes, the world would agree with you that you have a right to be upset. You have a right to hold that. But Jesus taught a new thing. Jesus taught the real thing, the living water that's eternal. And when we live by this book, the peace, the joy is unstoppable. The little rat, the enemy, cannot steal it. It's forever. So this morning, if you close your eyes, bow your heads, if there's something that you've taken offense to and is keeping you in bondage and in chains, and that person is not even going to come and ask for forgiveness, but because we serve a God that died on a cross and said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we choose to say to that person that offended us, I forgive them. They don't even realize what the enemy's doing. It's time for the Christian church to live in that power that forgives and lets go. Let's go those things. It's time. This isn't just any church service. This is breakthroughs. This is laying a foundation that the harvest can be brought into. In a count of three, if that's you, and you're tired, you didn't even know what it was when you came into this building today, but the Holy Spirit has revealed it to you. You haven't been at peace because you're holding on to grudges and hates and offenses. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God is, and if you have a loved one who's offended you, God's going to do His work when you begin to let it go. He's going to begin to help that person. In the count of three, if you're just tired and you want to let it go, you don't have to tell me what the offense is. It's you just tell God. He knows your heart. But if that's you, I believe it's important that we take that step and begin to get these chains off of us and begin to see how God sees. The count of three, if that's you, just come and let the chains come off. One, two, three. We choose to take no offense.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Holy Spirit, come make us whole.
Jesus, come. Be free today. Be free. We're not ashamed, Lord. We're not ashamed, Lord. We're not ashamed to publicly say, Lord, we need you, Lord. Take it from me, Lord. Give me the power to forgive, oh Lord God. I want that joy and peace that comes with forgiving, whether they deserve it or not. Thank you. Praise the Lord. If you've come up to the front, you've done a bold thing this morning. You've done a bold thing that's going to change your life. This is not easy to do. This is the Spirit of God putting in each and every one of your hearts that even when somebody has wronged me and they're not asking to be forgiven, I choose to do what Jesus did and say, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. You've taken a step that not many are willing to take. Which means that the power of God is in your life. And it is not your own power that has given you this strength to admit and to say, Lord, I'm publicly just stating and I don't care who sees me. I'm going to go and be free from these offenses. And you've chosen to leave these people that have offended you in God's hands. Not in your vengeance, but as the Bible states, in God's vengeance, in His hands. And He's even going to give you a spirit. Not just to leave them in God's hands, but to hope that they get closer to God. Because that's power. That's the power of love. We may not care for what they did to us. We may not care. But you do care about this thing. You want what Jesus wants. And it is Jesus' desire that all come to repentance. But we leave it with God's hands. You are a chosen generation. You have taken a step of power. And the chains are coming off. As a group, lift your hands together. Everyone who's come up to the front, you're lifting your hands in a sign of surrender. That's what that means. And you are surrendering the offense. Today, when you leave this place today, that thing that the person has wronged you, you're surrendering it and you're leaving it at the cross. And you're going to go in joy and peace. You are leaving with living water that is eternal. So as you lift your hands, let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, today the enemy has lost. He has been keeping us in bondage and in chains. And we even felt we had a right to keep it, the offense. But today, by the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we, as believers in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our lives, we understand that that was a trick of the enemy. And today, it is loosed. The offense is loosed. It's God. It's God. Because Jesus has taken it. And now it will be replaced with living water of joy and peace. We are not like the world. We now forgive and forget and go on to the next battle, the next soul to bring into the harvest, to bring into the barn. We are now free from the offense in the name of Jesus, who is above every name, who every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We are free. We are free. I want you all to repeat that with me. 1, 2, 3. I am free again. I am free. One more time. I am free. Hallelujah.